Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May the 29th, 150th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Fortuna City Manager for 5 weeks, Dwayne Reagy.
You make it sound so... Yeah, that
final?
Final, yeah. It is. Hopefully, yeah, it is 5 weeks. I'm embracing it, yes. Okay. Hi, how are you, Brian? Yeah.
good. And as if, folks, you have been listening, this is the... Well, I guess we've got 3 shows left in the 4 o'clock hour. And then on Friday, we move up an hour to the 3 o'clock hour.
And you did that just for me?
Just. The Reagy factor.
I kept on complaining. How come I had to be here at
4?
Yeah.
Yeah, how come I have to work until 5? What's this all about? So we'll take care of it on his final week. He'll work until 4 on... More talk shop day, same as he does other days?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I show up at 11 and leave at 2. Okay. Yeah, right.
And you want to walk away from that.
Yeah, I know. People ask me if I work how long. I say I only work half days, any 12 hours in the day.
Yeah. That would be refreshing.
It would be. For those in the private sector, that would be a
12 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, 12 hours. Is that all you have to do, huh?
Yeah, that means I could shut it off for 12. That's cool. But we're not going to shut it off too early. We're going to walk our way through this program, catch up on what's going on in Fortuna, how the research and search is going for replacement, what the budget looks like. We do have the summer quickly approaching, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And I guess you guys had a little bit of fun out by River Lodge over the weekend. So.
Which one was that? I mean, you probably know more than
this. Is the guy with the drugs and the gun.
Oh, the regular.
That's he said it, not me. We'll explore it when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:16. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dwayne Reagy. I'm going to have a tough time saying 3:16, aren't I? Probably.
3:16, you're going to have to work on it. You need to practice.
Yeah, that's okay. But now I won't have to say 4:20, so that'll be a nice balance.
Well, yeah, you'll save on the numbers.
Yeah, okay. Our quote this afternoon comes from Bill Gates. Is the rich world aware of how 4 billion of the 6 billion live? If we were aware... We would want to help out. We'd want to get involved. Mr. Gates, that's the retirement thing for you.
Yeah.
You're starting to know how the other people live.
And many opportunities to give back.
Yeah. You figured out which ones yet?
No.
Okay.
But I figured I have some time to figure that out.
Yeah. You betcha. Years.
None of us got here by ourselves, so.
Oh, so now you're laying it off on others?
No, I'm just saying it's an opportunity to remember about all the things that were provided to me and wisdom and guidance and things that maybe I can provide to someone else or others.
You're getting philosophical in your oldom.
It is when you kind of get a chance to look back. It's been a wonderful trip.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the budgets and the general fiscal. Last time you were in, Dwayne, you were saying that this isn't how you wanted to leave it.
No.
This doesn't feel comfortable, it's not the way that you wanted it, but it's kind of a forced hand at this point.
Well, life has a tendency to deal with what it comes. And no, this is not the way I would have enjoyed leaving what I felt was a wonderful time of almost 10 years with the City of Fortuna as the city manager. It had been a much more upbeat, but I'm finding myself dismantling things that we worked pretty hard to put together. It took years to nurture some of this and getting some things going and under the idea of, you know, we're operating efficiently. Now we have to dismantle some of that, reducing the level of service that our police department's going to be able to deliver because we're going to have fewer people. Reducing the amount of maintenance and care we give to our parks. Our recreational program is not going to necessarily feel it as much because we charge fees for recreational use issues, and our fees cover the vast majority of our recreational costs. So there was no reason to, as we've talked with the council, there's no reason to cut a budget that makes that has an offsetting revenue to it. I mean, that serves no purpose. But we don't get revenues for upkeep and maintenance of our city parks. So that's going to have to be reduced. Our general fund is in essentially a $500,000 stress. And we're talking about a $4 million budget item to general fund that produces the revenue and provides over half of that is spent on police services. The other half is spent on road repairs and park maintenance and our recreational program and those kinds of things. So all of those have to be contracted because we don't have the revenue to support that anymore.
As you look at the structure, one thing is to talk about structural deficits. Another is to say, well, and you have one or two extraordinary events.
Yes.
My sense with what's going on at the state is that you can't bank that this is not anything but a structural. And yet at the state level, they're holding their breath saying 1 year, maybe 2 years. Does that take black irony? Does that get at you?
It is a, for the city of Fortuna, this is a long-term structural issue. This is not, because as some people ask, this is not something the city in mismanagement or poor policy decision or went out farther than it should have and overextended its...
Or one big retailer comes to town and everything's okay.
Yeah, that would be wonderful if it could happen, but you can't bank on that. You know, that's all whimsical. That's too much head in the clouds. The feet on the ground part of this is the state, because of continuing mismanagement for a number of years under numerous governors and legislative bodies, have continued to spend money when there was no revenue there. And their solution has been continually, let's go steal the local government's money in different ways. And I mean it. It's just, it's outright theft of programs and things that local governments have been using to, and in many cases, well managed, and the state, because of their short deficit, has the ability, because a lot of the money, even though it isn't directly theirs, passes through their hands, either through the county, which is a subdivision of the state. Cities are not a subdivision of the state. They're standalone corporations. So what has happened is, because the state can no longer meet its mandatory obligations of passing through a school money that was done by Prop 98, goes on and on, have now continually found ways that they can take the money. Their latest one was, let's eliminate redevelopment agencies in the state of California, even though they've demonstrated an economic growth. They've allowed a lot of things to, both at the local and state level, to encourage different things being done by using a tax increment, as we call it. Let's eliminate that. And the threat of that was, well, I don't think they really wanted to eliminate RDAs. They just wanted a portion of the revenue. So there was going to be a way that you could buy yourself back into some kind of grace. Well, what happened was the state Supreme Court ruled that, yes, they can eliminate them. But by the way, you can't pay a ransom fee to the state in lieu of being eliminated. So all the redevelopment agencies were quickly gotten rid of. What does that do for the city of Fortuna? Well, because our redevelopment agency staff was city staff, and some of the salaries that did the redevelopment projects and what have you were paid through the redevelopment agency, but now that staff is not going to get that revenue stream. Can we get by without that level of staff? One would say, well, we'll just cut back and eliminate the positions. But what happens, we got part of a person, myself as the city manager, is working on that. Does the work really decrease that amount? Not really. And can you find someone to do that level of work, that competency of what was being done at a lower salary? And the point is, probably not. And so we have all these deficits, and the deficit is long term. It's going to be here unless some kind of a revenue source is sought by the city to offset the theft that the state has taken. It's essentially that kind of feudal system that's going on. And the public doesn't really see it until there's going to be significant reductions in service. And what this has done throughout the state, certainly in a lot of cities, it has forced the local government to impose or to go to the voters for additional taxes. And it's done in Eureka. And not that that's bad. If the voters say, yeah, we really want these services, we'll pay more for it. Versus the state having to go back and explain their budgetary problems and asking the public to raise a tax they're forcing local government to do it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 424. We'll be back with more from Dwayne Riggi.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 428. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dwayne Riggi. Dwayne, as you look at the budgets and the creativeness that Sacramento has had in robbing?
Kicking the can down the alley?
I know. That implies just treading water.
Well, it does, but yeah.
They're doing more than that. They're eviscerating, I think, would be a term that could be
That's
used.
That's a big word, but you're right.
For local governments.
Yes.
But the energies that are being spent to do that, how frustrated are you that they're not using that effort, energy, resource?
How frustrated?
to try to find a way to get their act together instead of holding onto the monies or robbing the local jurisdictions.
I've been very frustrated to answer your question, extremely, and I don't know of very many city managers who aren't. But we're constrained by civility and also the fact is you don't throw grenades at somebody else. You do the best you can with what you got. And so we continually trying to find ways to work with what we're dealt.
Being passive,
that's
and a team player and all those other euphemisms hasn't gotten you guys anywhere.
It has gotten nowhere. But the rebellion doesn't come from, it shouldn't be coming from city staff members. It should be coming from the political leadership. And part of this, the political leadership on a local government, is although we have things in common, we just don't join up. Most cities in California are small, and they have a part-time city council.
Yeah, if you're throwing bricks in the morning,
yeah,
you're probably not going to have this as your fixation and your sole purpose. So I would argue that unless you have a full-time elected body, that it is the staff's position.
Well,
because you're the only people who know really what's going on and can raise the alarm.
But we're not elected, and we only speak for what the electeds are there to do, which is policy. And I have to have a great admiration for somebody who wants to take out a part of their life, who is busy in their business or their family and everything else, and essentially get a small stipends and spend a huge amount of time understanding what their local government is doing and making sure it's on the right course without taking on these other big political processes with the state. But the problem is our voice is never heard because we have no political clout.
Because of the part-time status
mm-hmm.
of the electeds what, or the ones that would be talking.
So if they don't do what we want them to do, so what?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampist to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Dwayne Riggi. Dwayne, as you look at some of the projects, either redevelopment or things that were able to be done in Fortuna, I guess in the last 10 years, I don't know, what was River Lodge? That was before you.
That was about a year and a half before my time, yes.
So you look at some of these significant projects. Could any of them be done today?
Oh, yeah. If there's political will, it can be done. But that's the ingredient that's got to be there. Political will can set certain priorities. They probably couldn't be done in the same magnitude. In some cases, maybe not done at all. You're right. But I think as city councils have and members have changed in the 10 years that I've been on the city council, on the city manager in Fortuna, underlying theme was always, what are the essentials? What are the essentials? Give me all these hand signals here. So I'll trip over my tongue again. Is what are the essential city services that we're providing? Public safety is always at the top. Potable water, safe potable water, reliable service, you know, day or night, 365 days a year. A sanitary and safe sewer system so we don't have disease and other things. Those don't sound like huge tasks. They are. They're a huge task.
Either they're expected.
Well, that's the problem is, you know, 50 years ago, that wasn't always the case. But we expect those. There's more on rest in communities and threats of public safety today than it was maybe even 50 years ago. In Fortuna, there was a sense of doing it, potable water and what have you. We've learned to take all of that for granted. You look at the rest of the world, it's not a norm. But we don't have the level of appreciation of what it takes to make that happen.
If you look at your general fund,
yes,
the emaciated general fund for next year.
Yes.
Okay, and you talked about the fee for services or being, you know, the parks and rec. It's pretty well covering its own nut.
The recreational part of it.
Things. And they play in the parks, so maybe you...
Well, not really. We might not... We'll have a fee for softball game and what have you, but maybe the softball field...
But the infield wouldn't be mowed?
It might not.
So you have to jack it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's say it's a break-even.
Okay.
Okay. You mentioned streets.
Yes.
Water. And cops. You throw fire guy on there, too.
We don't do fire, fortunately.
You got a paid staff. Is that a special district?
It's fire in Fortuna is a special district.
Okay, so
thank God it is, and they work very well, and they do an outstanding job. But
so with those three, could they be paid? Could you invest the same amount as 3 years ago, next year, and nobody else get a dime?
Well, you'd have to take the water sewer out of the equation. Those are enterprise operations. We charge the user for that service. We finally came to that stage.
It's 100%.
100% funded by users.
Replacements 100%.
Yes, and we've got a fee in place that now allow us to not only operate, but to replace infrastructure.
So let's step it back even further. You got cops,
mm-hmm.
and you got asphalt,
yes.
concrete, et cetera.
Yes.
Could that... next year in the general fund be covered at the amount that it was 3 years ago?
No. No, it will not be able to be done.
So everything else gets shot down, and you still couldn't hit the numbers on those two departments.
That's right.
It's just at what point do you think the public's going to go, I get it. Oh, my. Do you think this might be the year?
It might. And in some ways, I'm disappointed. I won't be at the phone when it rings. It's not a pleasant phone call when you get people who are upset with the lack of service that they've become used to or should expect. And you have to explain to them why you can't do it. Yes, I know that, but, you know, I wish I could still be there for that phone call. I'd feel better about putting.
You could volunteer. I understand there are positions open for volunteers.
But I have to answer to a higher power. My wife says it's time, dear. But as that aside, that's the frustrating part for me is to leave not only with having to downsize or at least tell to downsize, but I don't have to be there. I'm not going to be there to see it through. And that's an alien thing for me.
Is there a through to see?
Oh yeah, there's always going to be a through to see. That's what people do. We'll figure this out in some way or another. It's going to be maybe as I've been telling the council, we're going to do less with less, but we're going to probably do what we're doing better. We'll continue to learn better ways to do things at less cost. Better means delivering the same service, maybe even more service, at less cost. But we won't be able to do all the things that we did. But the things that we need to do, we will do. Now, what we need to do is going to be, that's the hard decision. That's what city council members get to do. Tough, tough policy decisions. What's the most important? What's the second most important? What's the least important?
Making commercial breaks. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Dwayne Riggi.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dwayne Riggi. Another reminder that starting on Friday, this show will be on in the 3 o'clock hour. Yeah. And at this time, you'd be hearing local news.
We would.
But you're kind of a newsy kind of guy. So
yeah, I guess so.
You'd be okay.
It's your show. You can do anything you want.
How much does prevailing wage impact the budgets at the local level, Dwayne? We hear about it. It's a phrase that's used. Some argue it has nothing to do with reality. Some say it has everything to do with reality. What is the impact as you're looking at the tight budget of prevailing wage for some of these projects?
It's hard to quantify there, but I believe it reduces cost to the public because the problem with the prevailing wage on a statewide basis is that up here in a rural environment with a different, well, I wouldn't say a different standard of living, but a different cost factor. Our prevailing wage, if the city of Fortuna engages in projects, it would be a San Francisco Bay Area wage salary. Well, wages in San Francisco area are higher because the cost of living is higher, housing is higher, you know, fuels and all the things associated with it. But what happens is when you apply that standard to here, the same factors aren't, but the cost, so it drives the cost of a lot of public infrastructure projects up quite a bit. Now, anything that comes with federal dollars attached to it will be a prevailing wage project in by definition. It is part of the deal. You cannot sign up and get and have any access to that kind of money without agreeing to bid the project on a prevailing wage. Same thing for state. So if there's any state or federal money in the project, you're already signed up. And
so gas tax, which goes towards asphalt,
you name it. So
you're locked. So
there's only two cities in Humboldt County that I know of that have the ability not to use a prevailing wage, and that's the city of Eureka under their charter, and Fortuna is a charter city, and the charter in Fortuna was to deal, well, it was predominantly to deal with the prevailing wage issue. But it only applies for us, and we only can trigger it if it's, quote, local money. So the projects that affect us are those that are particularly our water and sewer infrastructure projects, because all the funds that we have in our water and sewer system are generated by local ratepayers. So recently when we bid and went out to bid for a 2 million gallon water tank, we bid it as a non-prevailing wage job. And we had a number of contractors competing for that. Some of them are tied to union agreements, some of them aren't. But whatever they chose, whatever they had to pay their contractors, I mean their subcontractors and their people, was the wage that we would accept. So we don't have, and the other savings for the city on those is we do not, as the administrator of the contract, have to validate and look at each one of their payroll runs to assure ourselves and audit to that they have paid each and every wage classification correctly. So there's a lot of administrative cost to administering a prevailing wage project. And so what we were hoping and what appears to happen when we go to non-prevailing wage, we see more local contractors participating because that's the structure they have for their people.
So you're not having to pull the guys up out of Santa Rosa.
Right.
It makes, use locals.
Generally speaking, having been in the construction administration world in the big life before I came to Humboldt County, it's always difficult to have a mixed crew. So one week you have a carpenter that's earning $75 an hour, let's say, as a prevailing wage job, and you move them over into a non-prevailing wage job, and you have to tell them their salary now is, or their pay is, $45 an hour. It doesn't work very well. Sometimes there are contractors that can pull it off, but that's exactly what happens when you have a contractor that has different kinds of projects. When they're in the private sector where there is no prevailing wage, they're paying their people this. When they're working on a government prevailing wage job, the salaries go up. Does the skill level, does the talent increase for the amount of extra money that the public has to pay for that prevailing wage job? And my observation, no, it doesn't.
So where did the concept of prevailing wage come from?
Where did it come from? From my perspective, and having been in, came from union labor. Because there is a real reason for it, because union talent is just that. There's apprenticeship programs. There's a training program. So at least when you're normally getting a journey level, whether it's a carpenter, whether it's an iron worker, a welder, you're getting a level of talent, and that costs money to get. I understand that, and I have an appreciation for that. However, some of those salaries are driven by the location of where the talent's being used. Like I said, the San Francisco Bay Area, the Los Angeles area. So why do you apply that labor cost standard to Alturas or to Fortuna? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what we have to do because of the heavy lobby of those unions in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, California. It's that simple.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how the budget looks.
I'm looking
forward
to it.
When next we meet, huh?
Yeah, one more time, Warren.
One more time, buddy. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
We've been talking shop with Wayne Riggi. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you tomorrow.